Hello, welcome back everyone to another episode of In the Money. I'm Konstantin Vrondopoulos with Fidelity's Trading Strategy Desk. Very happy to be back in the hot seat hosting this awesome show. Have Tony Zhang, the Chief Strategist at Options Play, alongside me. Great to see you, Tony. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, KV. It's been a roller coaster week to say that is an understatement. So, really looking forward to kind of dissecting what has happened and what our outlook is as a result of it.
Absolutely, Tony. Long and eventful week is kind of the way I had it framed in my head, but financial markets have been extraordinarily volatile. Very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the current developments. But before we begin, I would just like to emphasize for everyone in the audience the importance of keeping risk management tactics front and center when you're considering trading strategies. Volatility, folks, brings about plentiful opportunity to a trader, but it is a double-edged sword. It means that it also elevates the risks of potential financial loss. And so, on the trading strategy desk at Fidelity Investments, that was originally launched about 10 years ago, we've been coaching our clients day in and day out. To evaluate risk first, profit second, when you are considering a strategy or a trade idea. I think what we're living through and trading through right now should be a very important lesson. We're going through not just one, but two and three standard deviation moves in single names. Tony mentioned that it kind of feels like a roller coaster, and that's exactly what it is. So, if you haven't been considering risk management tactics before, I think the current conditions necessitate it. So, please be vigilant. Tony, what's driving the market action? What are you watching? Where do you think we're going from here? Very much headline driven. So, I'm curious, how are you framing this?
Yeah, KB, as you said, it's very much headline driven here at the moment. And honestly, it's difficult to really wrap your arms around everything that's happened in just 1 week. Even when we were meeting last week, there were just some, we were still expecting, fairly solid growth expectations from the economy, even though they were starting to show some cracks, and that quickly flipped to sheer turmoil within a couple of days. And yesterday we were entered a new stage of euphoria that I really haven't seen in quite some time. And just today we're back to a much more bearish tone here in the broader markets. And this is obviously all due to the tariff headlines. And the 90-day pause here yesterday drove markets substantially higher here. And that largely overrode all other news. Even the inflation print this morning that came in a little softer than expected, markets largely shrugged that off, even though arguably that is one of the more important data points that we would have paid attention to for the markets. So all driven right now based on tariff news. Yesterday's news really erased most of the previous four sessions losses. But the one thing I do want to keep investors aware of is that yesterday's rally, notice on the S&P 500, it stopped at that 5,500 resistance level. That was the prior support level that we were looking at on the S&P 500 for it to get back above in order for us to maintain a more neutral view on the broader markets. So the fact that this morning we were rejected at that level and we're starting to trade lower confirms that despite yesterday's strong rally, we have now entered a much more bearish tone here for the US equity markets. And largely this is because the damage has been done. Even if we do take a pause here on the 90-day for 90 days for tariffs, that damage has been done. It's hard to put the cat back in the bag at this point. The consumer confidence at this point has already been dented and likely will start showing up in the guidance that companies will start to provide, given the fact that earnings season is kicking off later this week. So there's a lot of things that I think are concerning here for the broader markets, even if we do take a pause here for tariffs that have been that has driven this volatility. Unless these tariffs get taken off the board completely and we see China back off as well, I really see there isn't really a good path forward, in my opinion, to kind of resume a more bullish trend like we've been in since the beginning of the year. So from my perspective, I think at the moment our overall outlook here for the equity markets at the moment remains fairly bearish. And the one thing I do want to point out here that I think if we take a step back and get out of the tariff news cycle, the one thing that really concerns me has been in the treasury market. We've seen a pretty historical move in the 30-year bond yields during that sell-off here. In three trading sessions, the 30-year bond yield rose by 40 basis points. We've never seen a move of that size before. And notice how, despite the fact that stocks sold off heavily over the last week or so, there wasn't buying of treasuries, which is typically what you would see when stocks sell off. People would investors would sell stocks and go and use treasuries or U.S. government bonds as a flight to safety. And we didn't see that. We saw treasuries sell off alongside with equities. That, for me, is really a warning signal that potentially the quote-unquote risk-free nature of U.S. treasuries is starting to be questioned here in this type of market environment. We've been talking about the fact that $36, $37 trillion of US debt is becoming more and more unsustainable. And this is starting to creep into investors' mindset as to when things really hit the fan, are US treasuries where we want to seek safety in? And I think there's starting to be some signs that perhaps that is no longer, the status quo. And I think that is going to be a huge risk here to the broader markets if that were to be the case, where treasuries sell off alongside with stocks. And even on yesterday's rally here, we didn't see treasuries budge much as a result of that. So there's really a broader implication here from a credit perspective from the treasury market that I think we really need to start paying attention to, because if treasuries are no longer deemed risk-free, that's going to have huge ramifications in the global capital markets. And I think that is really what we need to start paying attention to right now, outside of just keeping an eye on how the US economy is going to hum along over the next couple of months as these tariffs pause and whether or not consumer confidence does come back or not.
Tony, how about the implied volatility of the S&P 500 options? Looking at the VIX kind of topping out in the 50s yesterday, of course, into the close, post that massive rally, it subsided significantly, but we're right back up there in the high 40s at the moment. Your thoughts on that front?
Yeah, the fact that VIX is sticking, well above that 35-40 range right now is really speaking to just how concerned investors are. I think intraday we got really back up toward that high 50 level here today. And also, if you look at VVIX, the volatility of VIX, that also remains incredibly high. That really speaks to just, how concerned investors remain, even with yesterday's news and the pause of tariffs. Like I said, the damage has been done, and it's really hard to put the cat back in the bag here right now. So that's part of the what drives my bearish thesis here, despite yesterday's move. And when you combine that with the technical levels on the S&P 500, where we failed to get back above 5,500 on the S&P 500, and VIX now trading in the high 40s, this leads me to believe that we're heading back towards 5,000 on the S&P 500. And if we break 5,000, the next level down is really around 4,300. So we're talking some substantial downside on the S&P 500 if things start to get uglier.
Very good, Tony. Thank you for your thoughts. Because of this massive market volatility that we've been experiencing, liquidity has significantly deteriorated. The bid-offer spreads are widening substantially beyond their 52-week range norms. And so we often coach our clients here at Fidelity to make sure that you're utilizing, or you're thinking about at the very least, utilizing limit orders and being cautious of these market conditions and not being very cavalier with your position size. Tony, given the backdrop, what's the trade idea that you're bringing to us this week? I think it had something to do with the implied volatility you're seeing in the S&P.
Yeah, it does. And it also has to do with the implied correlation on the S&P 500 as well. You know, traditionally what we do is we look at single stock names as trade ideas here on the show, but within correlations reaching multi-year highs here, and what that means is that all stocks are heavily correlated with each other. So all stocks are moving lower in tandem with each other, all stocks are moving higher in tandem with each other. In those types of market environments, there's less alpha in picking individual names. And that's why I want to use SPY, the ETF, as a way to potentially further hedge some downside risk that I see here in the equity markets. Because 2 weeks ago, I flagged the fact that we rallied up to that 5,700 level on the S&P 500 as a potential resistance level that the markets are going to turn lower from. And we used a put hedge in order to hedge that downside risk. Now, at that time, I had a 5,400 target here on the S&P 500. We've obviously hit and exceeded that target here to the downside. Granted, yesterday we did manage to trade all the way back up to 5,500, but the rejection from that $5,500 level leads me to believe that there's further downside here. And like I said, my first downside target here on the S&P 500 is 5,000, which translates to around 500 on SPY. And if we get below that, you know, I'm looking at 470 and 430 to the downside, which is starting to look at 2023 and 2022 support levels. So effectively, what we would be doing here, if we do reach those levels, is erasing kind of the 2 year rally we've seen on the back of AI within just a few trading sessions. And that's really kind of quite scary if you think about that, but that's really the reality that we're facing right now with VIX trading at 42%, 43% here right now. You know, a couple of weeks ago when volatility was much lower, we advocated for buying a put spread to seek some downside exposure in the S&P 500. Now that VIX is so high, that's really where I think we have the opportunity to sell some premium here in this type of market environment. The other thing to think about here is that, you know, the S&P 500 is trading at about 20 times forward earnings. Now, that's still a little bit above the 10-year average, which is around 18 and 18.2 times forward earnings. So there's still plenty of room to the downside just to get to the average, the 10-year average. And generally speaking, when we have times of market stress like we are right now, we tend to undershoot that long-term average as well. So both from a technical perspective and from a fundamental perspective, I see some substantial downside here. But given the market environment that we're in, I think this starts to favor option sellers rather than options buyers. So as we shift from buying puts to selling calls, the trade structure that I want to use is to go out to the May 23rd weekly expiration. That's going out close to 45 days out. And what I'm looking at is selling the 535 565 call vertical. Earlier today, you could collect about $14.20 for this $30 wide credit spread. And what that gives you the opportunity to do is to collect some premium and take a neutral to bearish view here on the broader markets. And you know, things are moving very quickly here. The S&P 500 is trading around 522 right now. So we priced this trade just a few hours ago, and you know, the strike prices are already a little bit stale. So I do think for investors or who are watching this live right now, you might want to adjust the strike prices lower by about $10 to about the 525, 555, and you can collect roughly about the same premium, around $14.20. And what this type of trade structure allows you to do is to, again, like I said, take a neutral to bearish view. And as long as in the strikes that I presented, if the S&P 500 stays below 535 at that May 23rd expiration, you're going to collect a maximum premium, a maximum reward of $1,420 per contract with a maximum risk of 1580, $1,580 if SPY is above that higher strike of 565 at expiration. Now, obviously, those will be different if you adjust your strike prices lower, like I had suggested. But given the current market volatility, by the time you go and execute this trade, you might want to recenter this trade based on the current prices of where SPY is trading right now.
Yeah, Tony, it's I've been doing this a long time. I've been in this business a very long time. I've traded through all sorts of volatile market conditions, and what we're experiencing right now truly is historic and extraordinary. And so, not frequently that I, as a option strategist, would go out there and look at the S&P 500 45 days out, looking at the money bear call spreads $30 wide and bringing in a risk to reward ratio of essentially 1 for 1. The risk reward ratios are usually skewed more to the risk side. And here, if you're doing them at the money 30 points wide, you're about even. And so that just speaks to the current environment that we're in. Want to remind everybody, what did I say at the beginning? Volatility to an options trader could mean a significant opportunity. But you have to watch your trade size. You have to have a plan on how to manage risk. Markets are moving with vicious velocity here. And so just have a plan in place on what you're going to do in case what you think is going to happen is not transpiring the way you expected. Tony, we're kicking off the S&P 500 earnings season. Well, we normally officially, I guess, kick it off with the first major banks reporting earnings. So we have a few tomorrow morning. That is Friday morning in the AM session, of course, pre-market. These banks are old school in that sense. And so I'm curious, is that something that you're watching? Are you going to be listening to those conference calls for additional cues and clues about forward guidance and their thoughts on the economy going forward? And how about this, Tony? I'll put this to you. What if the market decides to turn around here and go higher and continue powering higher? How are you going to be managing this particular trade?
Great question. So let's first address that earnings question that you had, which was around, how am I going to be paying attention to? There's two tomorrow that I think is most important, Delta and JP Morgan. Delta is really what sent some of the first warning signals of slowdown in consumer spending about a month ago when they started to slash guidance in terms of profits for 2025. They slashed their net income profits, net income guidance in half about a month ago. And that was the first sign that consumer confidence was starting to wane and that there were some signs that consumers were pulling back on spending. That was something that we've speculated as to potentially was going to be a concern here for the US economy for what feels like almost 2 years now. And that was the first time we really started to see companies send some warning signals around that. So that was really a huge shift. And I really think we need to pay attention to Delta's guidance that they might provide further on the earnings tomorrow morning. The other one is JP Morgan. And JP Morgan historically has always provided fantastic guidance. Jamie Dimon is very good at getting a good sense for, what consumers are doing. And that's really one that we really should be paying attention to right now as far as how JP Morgan as a bank is expecting both consumers and institutions to react to the current market conditions. I think those are two really important earnings announcements to be paying attention to kind of set the tone for the earnings season. And I have some concerns that both of those could lead to some further downside in both of those stocks, even though both stocks have sold off pretty heavily over the last couple of months. Now, to your second question with regards to how do you manage the risk? Now, you mentioned something really. You mentioned something with regards to the risk to reward of this bear call spread, which is the fact that, we're collecting almost a 1-to-1 risk to reward ratio on a 45-day at the money call spread on SPY. Traditionally, on these types of trades, you get about a 3-to-1, meaning for every $1 you can potentially make, you're usually risking $3 on the back of that in more normal market conditions. It's really unusual. I actually, to be honest, have never seen the SPY, 30, 45-day bear call spread trade at a 1-to-1 risk to reward ratio. So From my perspective, this strategy, has already built in limited risk, right? The most you can risk is that 1580 per contract versus the 1420 that you can potentially make. So this is actually one of the very rare opportunities where you can put on a trade like this and not worry too much as far as needing to put in a stop loss order or decide when you need to get out, because the trade itself effectively already has that mechanism of a stop loss order. Because if SPY were to rally from here significantly, even above that 565 upper strike, I'm limited in terms of how much I can lose. So in this particular case, and it's only in this particular case, do I think that this is the type of trade that I can largely hold on to close to expiration and then choose to decide what I want to do. I don't really have to, quote unquote, think about managing this from a risk perspective to the downside. But again, this is extraordinary times, as you say.
Very good, folks. I know for a fact that Tony knows that Delta already reported yesterday. It had a massive swing in terms of a move, but what he actually means is watch it kind of trade and where it goes from here, because they withdrew the guidance, and we're just gonna see how the stock reacts to market conditions and market volatility from here on out. JP Morgan is reporting tomorrow morning. Folks, that does bring us to a close. I want to thank Tony for his incredible and insightful thoughts that he brings to us every single week. Great show, Tony. Thank you for showing up as always.
Thank you, KB.
Hey, everyone in the audience, I want to let you know that next week we don't have a show scheduled. Happy Easter, everybody. Good Friday. Next Friday, we will be back with another great episode on the 24th of April. In the meantime, don't forget that the Trading Strategy Desk is putting on copious amounts of live coaching sessions that you can attend. Fidelity.com/coaching is how you can find us. We do a follow-up session to this particular show every single Friday. You can find that and sign up for that by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And if you're looking for insightful crumbs from Fidelity professionals about current market dynamics and much, much more, don't forget to subscribe to our active investor newsletter. And you can find that at fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We'll see you back here, not next week, but the week after. Take care, everybody. Until then, stay cool, calm, and collected, and manage risk. We'll see you soon.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.